It's Monday, January 8th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast. It's Monday, January 8th, and you're listening to the Geek News Central Podcast, sponsored by GoDaddy.com. Geek News Central is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Please visit techpodcasts.com. Hello, everyone. How are you? We're live as it can be from Las Vegas, Nevada and the Consumer Electronics Show. And boy, what a couple of days it has been. I hope all of you are doing well. We've got a great show for you. Lots of info. Strap in. Here it comes.
This is the Geek News Central Podcast, part of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. So grab a cup of coffee, take a seat, and crank up that volume. Because you're listening to Todd on the Geek News Central Podcast.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Geek News Central Podcast. Again, my name is Todd Cochran. And if you're checking out the show for the very first time, hey, welcome aboard and welcome to the Ohana here at the Geek News Central Podcast. This show is normally recorded from a historic Ford Island in Honolulu, but we are remote this week here in Las Vegas. And boy, do we have a lot of content for you. And it's been an amazing, amazing day. But let me take a few minutes and welcome all of you. And I'll give you some updates here shortly. But if you're checking out the show for the very first time, what you're going to want to do is go over to geeknewscentral.com, get signed up for our newsletter so you can get the show notes delivered directly to your inbox immediately following the show. And, of course, wow, what a show it's been here. I guess I'll start off by letting you know what happened yesterday. Sunday afternoon, Javon and Andy and I walked over. Actually, we took a taxi over to the Bellagio and went into the blog house at it's being sponsored by Seagate, and we had a great time over there. They had bandwidth galore, food, drinks. They had the keynote by Bill Gates streamed live, and those of you that were following the Geek News Central website were able to keep in running tabs of what was happening during the keynote. It was a great evening over there. We got a lot done, pushed a lot of video out. You all can tell by the amount of video we got out yesterday that it was very, very productive. Now today, we got back, I guess what time we get back at the hotel room? Probably around midnight or so, and got things wrapped up here. I got about 5 hours of sleep, got up this morning, packed up, went down and had some breakfast. And we got on the bus, and traffic from the Monte Carlo where we're staying at is normally, it's about a 20 minute with normal traffic, 15 to 20 minutes with, actually with normal CES traffic, 15 to 20 minutes to get over there. And turns out we're on the bus for 90 minutes. Now I'm going to be bringing you a special video podcast of just the the woes that we had in getting over to the convention center this morning. But I was able to complete 23 interviews. All of them were done with video and audio. So tonight, what I'm going to be doing is I'm going to be putting up one audio interview that we did not have a video for. And I think you're going to enjoy it. It's about 23 minutes long. It is an amazing interview that I think all of you are going to be really excited about, a product that has been announced last night. And we were able to accomplish that interview while we were over at the Wagner Edstrom blogger room today. There was actually some folks in there from Microsoft. Boy, you should have been a fly on the wall, because we got on the discussion about Zune. We talked about DRM. We talked just a whole bunch of stuff. Now, the folks that were at Wagner Edstrom from Microsoft weren't part of the development team of Zune, but they were part of the product team of the Media Center stuff. But we're going to talk a little bit about that here in a second. But I do want to I want to thank the folks over at PodTech for putting on the blog house. Where I'm going to be headed is just immediately following this show. Actually, I've got video rendering right now for our clip of the day that we found here at CES, the Andy McCaskey and I did. And of course, get over to Andy's site at slash.review.com. He's got a lot of great content that's going to be starting to show up there tonight as well. As long as we're going to push as much video as quick as we can here, we're going to run a little behind because it's just a huge effort to get the video done in a timely fashion. It's 9:30 here already, and I've got about an hour of encoding to do. By the time I get that done, I got to transfer from Monte Carlo over to the blog house to push the video up and the audio that we're doing tonight. It just makes it easier because of the bandwidth availability over there. But while we were over at the blog house last night, there was a rep there from AMD, and he was able, during the keynote, to reveal to us HP's new TouchSmart computer. Now, I've got a significant video cast of that. We did have a little bit of a audio problem, which I feel pretty bad about, that happened during that interview. But we've solved all those audio problems. Today's interviews were terrific. We're using a different microphone. Matter of fact, the microphone that I'm using now is the one we did not use during the show today. And I think you guys are going to be completely blown away by the quality. But let me talk just a little bit about the interview that you're going to hear here in a few seconds. I was hooked up with the Microsoft team that worked on the new Microsoft Home server. And what I saw from that interview and what I saw that new device do is simply amazing. Now, there's going to be a picture that we're going to put up on the website along with this video cast that is a picture of the prototype. Now, this prototype picture was a Microsoft prototype. It's not any manufacturer's prototype, so they're kind of sensitive about me taking a picture. So, but I think when you guys see this thing, they didn't even want me touching the prototype. They had white gloves on. That's a matter of fact, I reached up to turn it around, but I got a couple pics for you. So those are going to be up. Now, I've got, 23 interviews just from today alone. We're going to push those as quick as we can. I want to get this primary interview out tonight because it's just going to be a battle for time. So please bear with me as we're going through these shows, and I'll get as much good content as I can to you. Some of it really applies well to video. I got to sort through it. Maybe I'll put two interviews in tonight. I'm not sure, but they'll be spliced in. I'm not going to narrate too much from them because they're very self-explanatory. I do want to thank Katashi for being the sponsor for the video portion of our journey out here. But this show continues to be sponsored by GoDaddy.com. And, of course, get your piece of the internet over at GoDaddy.com. Get domain names, web hosting accounts, even participate in their domain auctions. And when you get to that checkout counter, make sure you use promo codes T-O-D-D, Todd, and that'll get you 10% off on orders of $15 or more, or actually 10% off anytime, excuse me, or use the code GEEK5 and to get 15% on orders off of $20. And, of course, we're getting ready to put together another roundtable here in a couple of weeks. I'm sure we're going to be talking a lot about things we've seen here at the Consumer Electronics Show. A lot of companies that want to come on and show us their wares and their software and what they've got cooking. And we'll probably have some of those on the upcoming roundtable. But we're going to be hosting that with GoToMeeting, the world's best web conferencing tool. You can find that over at GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. You can get a free 30-day trial. Check it out. And I tell you what, it's just an invaluable application for doing meetings online. You don't have to travel across town or anything like that. So check that out at GoToMeeting.com/tech podcast. Now, tonight, I'm sure we're going to have lots of new listeners to the show. So what I'd like you to do is write this number down, 619-342-7365, 619-342-7365. And if you got comments about the show, send them in to geeknews@gmail.com. Now, I know there's some voicemails in the queue. Haven't downloaded them yet. I'll get them down, try to get them down tonight for tomorrow's show. But you can always send your email comments to geeknews@gmail.com. Now, tonight, because of saving some time, we're going to play this interview. It's about 20 minutes in length, and that's going to take it to the end of the show tonight. Tomorrow, I'll try to put together a back-to-back interview show for you so that you'll have just a pile of content to listen to, along with we should be put as well. So, again, thanks for being a part of the family here. And I'll go ahead and cue this interview up, and I'll have some comments at the end. Thanks.
But I think you can do audio.
Yeah, CJ, maybe you could let us know your role at Microsoft and the importance on it.
Sure, I'm a lead program manager. I work on the Windows Home Server team. And primarily my role over the last year and a half has been working on the user interface for Windows Home Server and a bit of its functionality. My team's responsible primarily for making sure that the user experience around Windows Home Server is the easiest to use that's possible. Right? The value proposition we have for Windows Home Server is that it takes care of the computers in your home. Not that it's another computer for you to take care of. Right?
So important
distinction. So we find it we find the user interface of the product to be paramount. The application just needs to be simple to use, simple to configure. And that's why when you many of the Windows Home Servers you'll get from our hardware partners at launch, they'll be very simple to set up. They'll have an Ethernet port and power, right? And that's all you need to connect to get your Windows Home Server up and running. And from that point forward, you just go to a computer, install our client software. We call that the Windows Home Server Connector, and everything else is just taken care of.
So you don't access it through a browser then? You have this dedicated program that you use to control the Windows Home Server?
That's correct. The Windows Home Server Connector is the software package that you install on your client computers. It includes a number of things. It includes a backup client. I'll talk about backup in a second. It also includes the Windows Home Server console, which is the administration application that you use to manage and configure your Windows Home Server. If we've done our job right, you don't see that thing very often, right? So Windows Home Server is a network-attached storage product, but we think of it as the next generation of network-attached storage. In fact, we don't even call it network-attached storage. We just call it Home Server. We think it's a new product category in and of itself. So it provides centralized storage for your home. So just like many network-attached storage devices on the market, you can have shared folders on the device that you can access using SMB, right? And unlike many network-attached storage devices on the market, when you accidentally delete a file that's on a network share, or if you overwrite a file because you changed something and you shouldn't have, with most devices out there today, you can't get it back. But because we're based on Windows Server technology, there's a technology in Windows Server called previous versions. So whenever you visit a shared folder, you can right-click, say previous versions, and you can actually go back in time and get that file that was on that shared folder yesterday before you accidentally deleted it. Or your daughter accidentally deleted it.
And as Bill said, that was better than time travel.
Yeah, better than time travel, yes.
We don't have any stars involved, but yeah.
So now in this particular situation, you have several, you have the server itself, and then you have, two other machines on the network here?
In this case we do. We have these two laptops here, this Hewlett-Packard and this Acer machine, and they're connected to the home server running Windows, connected to a server device running Windows Home Server. And our home server console is broken up into really basic concepts here. Across the top are all the concepts you need to know. There's your computers and backup. It shows you the computers in your server. The computers on your network, and it tells you whether or not the home server has backed those computers up, and it gives you access to the backups of those computers. Now, the backup technology in Windows Home Server is really amazing. We don't back up some of the things we think might be important to you. And we don't back up the things you tell us are important to you. We back everything up. The whole hard disk. The image of the hard disk. And we have an amazing backup system that allows us to do differentials over time so that we only store the things that have changed. And a very unique feature to Windows Home Server, we store differentials across computers. So if you've got 20, if you have 10 computers, each with one copy of Office 2007, we only store those files once.
Okay, so that's pretty cool because I've got five machines in my house, and kids' machine, wife's machine, my machine, a work machine, and they've got all bunch of different data on it, but they're all running Windows XP right now, so essentially you are going to back up one copy of XP and then keep the copies of my license files or whatever you do, your magic to make it happen. So how do you differentiate between, I got some that are running XP Pro and some XP or some Media Center, then there's some differentialities there too, right?
Right. It seems like magic, but it really, at the lowest technical level, isn't magic. We're looking at the basic building blocks of the hard disk, and we're comparing the building blocks on your hard disk versus the ones that we've already seen before on the home server. And if we've seen that building block before, we do not send it across the wire when we back your computer up.
So are you, probably it's proprietary how you're doing that, but are you using CRCs? Are you actually can rev versions on DLLs? How's that working?
I actually am not entirely sure, and I don't want to give you misinformation.
Okay.
So, as I said, it's a centralized storage device, right? So here you have your user accounts. You need user accounts because without user accounts, you can't set access controls.
Can't set privileges.
That's right. Yeah. So you can set up user accounts on the server. And then under shared folders here, you can see all of your shared folders on the server. You can very easily change the permissions on a shared folder. We made it dead simple. No more 20 million different types of access control. Here's a list of users. Do they want read and write, read only, or no access to that folder?
Nice. I just hit my battery limit here, so keep rolling.
I'm rolling.
And so under the server storage tab of the UI, you see all of the hard disks that are inside of your computer. And what happens when you fill your server up?
Yeah.
Right? So we made that really simple with Windows Home Server. You go to the store, you buy a new hard disk, be it internal or external, and you plug it in. And if Windows can recognize that hard disk, it appears here. And adding new storage is as easy as plugging that disk in and clicking this Add button. Click Add. You notice you have 298 gigabytes of storage on the server. This operation takes a couple seconds. We gave a warning just a second ago that said if there's any data on this disk you're adding to the pool, it's going to get lost.
Right.
And after about 60 seconds, you'll notice that this total size number goes from 298 gigabytes to about 600 gigabytes. So adding storage to your server really is seamless, simple operation. And as you can see, there you go.
So how are you mitigating... I plan for the worst. I plan that there's going to be a, I'm going to have a power surge. I'm going to, even though I've got protectors on, I'm going to lose a drive in a machine. And are these RAID or how is the drive set up inside the home server?
Sure. RAID has a number of advantages and a number of issues. So RAID gives you data redundancy. What RAID doesn't give you is the ability to grow volumes. And usually it doesn't give you the ability to have drives of different sizes. The likelihood that 6 months from now, when you want to, or a year from now, when you want to add more storage to your home server, that you can even buy the same size drive that you had years ago, very low, right? So we have a custom technology in Windows Home Server, again, brand new to Windows Home Server. It gives us the data redundancy features of RAID by guaranteeing that if you want the contents of a shared folder to be redundant, and you can choose on a shared folder basis, we'll guarantee that every file in that folder is stored on at least two disks. So if you have a failure, we won't lose the data.
Right.
However, it gives us this ability to grow the storage very large. And we've had instances of home server having over 12 terabytes of external storage connected to it.
Yeah, I'd be one of those guys who would be in the 2 or 3 terabytes.
Now, I told you a little bit about backing up your computer and the coolness of having the image, right? So if this laptop died, my manufacturer would send me another hard disk,
right?
When I plug the new hard disk into the system, right, traditionally I'd have to go reinstall the operating system, reinstall all the programs, then put my data back on the system, and then hopefully if I'd gotten everything right and if I did have all my backups working before, life is good. They usually take somebody a day. Some people spend a weekend. Some people spend weeks.
Weekend, and you're cussing every step of the way.
That's absolutely right. With Windows Home Server, I put the new hard drive in from my manufacturer. I take the Windows Home Server Restore CD. I put it into the CD or DVD drive. I boot my computer. A couple minutes later, the computer's booted into a special operating system, comes up on the network, finds the server, says, what date would you like to go back to? I pick last night, or whenever was the right before my server died. And about an hour, maybe 2 hours later, depends on the speed of the network in your home, your computer is exactly the way it was before the failure. No reinstallation, simple. Boom.
Sign me up. Like, I want one of these like yesterday. Sign me up.
Oh, you think I'm done?
Oh, come on.
I'm not done.
That's worth it right there. Yeah. That alone.
The transparency of it.
Yeah, that feature alone is worth, I don't know what this thing's going to cost, but it's worth it right there.
Let me show you one last feature. This is actually my favorite feature of the product. We got somebody blowing up on cell phone. This is my favorite feature of the product. Windows Home Server, if you visit our marketing campaign site, stopdigitalamnesia.com, right? And we consider digital amnesia to be the loss of your data or the forgetting of where your data is, right? Or the, I forgot that I needed to take my data to where I am now, and it's at home, and home is the other side of the country or the other side of the world. So with Windows Home Server, we have a feature called Remote Access. So what I can do is from any internet cafe, my in-law's house, basically any web browser, I can visit my home server directly over the internet by typing in a dynamic DNS URL that gets me to my home server. So I landed a page, looks really simple.
Okay, I got a question for you. Is this running on a non-standard port or is this running on port 80? And how's this going to, I know this is a hypothetical, but many ISPs get real anal retentive if you have an open 80 port on a server at your home.
Okay, we have some plans around that, and I'm not going to talk about it today.
Okay, fair enough.
Okay.
So obviously that thought process has come up, so they are working on that.
So I log into my home server using my user account and my password that I created, right? And let me just reemphasize, this website is running on my home server.
Right.
Microsoft doesn't have a hand in this. This is your server, it's your data.
Yeah.
Okay. So from the shared folders tab of this website that just came up, you can see that I can get to any of my shared folders that I have access to on my server. Let's say I'm at my in-law's house and I'm showing them my trip to Europe.
Yeah.
Right? I can click on a photo and it gives me, you know, standard download. I can say open the file. Windows will download it from my server, and then Windows will open the file in the standard file viewer. In this case, Windows Photo Gallery. And I promise it'll come up in just a second.
Now, here's a question on the Windows Restore that's probably out there, and I probably know the answer to this already. And it's the only reason I bring it up, it happened to me. I was on travel. I was in Albuquerque. I live in Honolulu. Blew a drive on travel. Knew it was a drive. Went and replaced a drive. But still, no Restore disk, nothing. Windows Restore available via remote?
Windows Restore not available via remote.
That's a great feature.
We'll keep that in mind for the next version.
That's one of those one in a million, well, maybe not from one in a thousand occurrences.
So here you can see I have my picture.
Yeah.
But I just got one picture.
Right.
And it would really suck if I had to go click, download, wait, click, download, wait, click, download, save. So what we can do instead, let you get that gratuitous photo. I can say select all, and then I can say download. Now Windows Home Server is going to make a zip file for me of everything I just selected.
That's sweet.
And then I can just open that zip file, and boom, there I have the entire photo album of my trip to Europe.
You know what's nice about this, Andy, is you give mom... No, you have to have... Okay. My mom's in Michigan. Okay. I live in Hawaii. I'm taking pictures all the time. She says, send me pictures of kids. She's on dial-up, right? She can't download stuff, but she can sit online and she likes to surf. Can she come into my machine
As long as you give her a user account on your home server and grant her remote access privilege, yes, she can.
And just tell them to surf several hours at a time.
Just make sure that you don't give her access to the pictures you don't want her to see.
You take those kinds of pictures? I don't. I'm just kidding.
Oh, Lord. There are some parties that happened in my house. I do not want my parents to see the photos. I'm going to save, this is my, I always save this for last. This is my favorite part of my favorite feature. Getting the file isn't always enough. I need my Excel file. My dad doesn't have Excel. I'm visiting my dad. My computer at home in my office has Excel.
Right.
Pick my office PC from the list in remote access, and I will get, through the secure login on my home server, a secure proxied connection to my office PC, and I will get a full screen remote desktop direct back into my home.
You pull license off the machine
at your
office. No, he's going to remote access to your desktop installation.
That's
at
right.
The office itself.
I'm using the remote desktop feature of the Windows XP or Windows Vista system sitting in my office, and I'm using the Windows Home Server as a secure proxy. That way, my Vista PC in my office isn't actually directly connected to the internet. Mm-hmm. My home server has a limited connection to the internet, and the home server proxies that remote desktop connection to my office PC securely. Now, I find this feature...
It is establishing a secure tunnel for you, and then you're accessing your home server.
It's essentially a VPN almost.
It's a VPN from your office machine desktop into the server, and then you're taking your client, your laptop becomes the client to interact with that machine remotely.
Yes, it's very similar. It's not exactly a VPN, but it's a very similar idea. Okay. Yes, absolutely.
Very cool.
Okay. I will talk about one more feature that I actually can't show you because I don't have an Xbox 360 here with me. We have this on the show floor here in Vegas this week. I can store my music, my photos, my videos, my recorded television centrally on my server. Now, we have a technology called Windows Media Connect. We've had that for a couple years now. It allows devices, music players, video players, Xbox 360s to access media stored on a Windows XP or Windows Vista machine. The Windows Home Server has that same capability. So now I can have my Windows Home Server, it's always on, it's sitting in my closet, and if every PC in my house is turned off and asleep, my Xbox 360 can still play all of my music, it can still watch all of my photos, it can still view my videos direct from the server, which is sitting in my closet.
Very cool.
So what's the price point here?
Unfortunately, we're not disclosing price points today, because it would be very preemptive of us. Our hardware partners haven't announced pricing, and like I said, it's an OEM only operating system, and it would be rude of us to tell you what their price might be, especially since they haven't even necessarily finalized their hardware configurations.
So when did they say this is going to be available?
Q2 this year.
Oh. That's going to be really cool.
I got to get me one of these on early trial.
Well, CJ's the guy to tighten you up.
Absolutely.
Right?
We'll see what we can do for you about
goodness.
That.
This is...
Right. Well,
You know what? I don't care what operating system you're using currently. This is cool.
Oh, absolutely. And the struggles that you have just to maintain... one or two machines for the kids. Wife has a machine in the den. You got a couple boxes in your office, and so forth.
You know, the classic example of this is my kids are kids. I've got that machine right now restricted on the network, so they can go out and they can come in. They can't touch any other machine on the network because they're always clicking stuff they shouldn't be clicking, and they're, you know, they just do stuff. And every once in a while, they're like, "Dad, something's wrong with the computer." So you know what I've done? I've got a ghost of that machine, and I slap that DVD in, and I re-ghost that, you know, take that image back off. I have to do that like once every 3 months because they do something to that box.
Yeah.
No more. I'll stick the restore disk in.
That's actually really cool too, because that Ghost CD, you probably made it when?
Yeah.
2 years ago.
Right.
Every time you have to re-ghost it, they go back 2 years.
But the question is, though, and that's the concern. You can set a date, a restore date back, right? But how far back does the restores go? Do you set the limit on the restores on a machine?
We're pretty smart about it. There's a couple options for you to tweak our retention policy. One thing you can do is mark any backup to stay permanently, and it will stay forever. Another thing that you can do is you can tweak how many backups we keep per year, per month, per week, and per day. Per year, per month, and per week. So you can say keep at least a backup per year from the last 5 years. Keep at least a backup or month for the last 5 months. Keep at least a backup a day for the last 1 week or 3 weeks. So you're in charge of that retention policy. And then once a week, we'll go through and we'll purge our database. It's a fairly long-running operation, but just like all your backups, it happens in the middle of the night when you're asleep. Computers just wake up in the middle of the night, back up. If they were asleep, they go back to sleep. And then the home server, once a week, at the end of that backup period, does a cleanup operation. It takes care of itself, applies updates, does all types of things, including applying those retention policies that you have.
Now, I've been involved in my time that I've been computing in a house fire. I live in a tidal wave zone. I'm very anal about my data, so that every month I make a trip to the bank with an external hard drive and stick it in a safety deposit box and trade that out so that I have off-site storage of my home data. So is there going to be some thought process into off-site storage? In other words, if I want to have a stick a drive on there and this drive's going to go somewhere and be in a safe place, has there been any thought put into that?
We put some thought into it. We don't know if we're going to have time to get to it in time for V1. At the very least, there will be ways for third parties to offer that type of functionality to be added onto
your
home server.
And particularly with an expansion capability on the box to add additional storage, you could have something that is purposely portable. Rather than pulling a drive out,
right.
You know, it's the way you're set up.
Yeah, but normally right now the configuration you're going to run it is you're going to stick the storage on and you're going to leave it there. You're not just going to arbitrarily disconnect it and take it somewhere because of the way that
the way it's striped across.
Yeah, all that's done. So, but you know, that just would save me so much headache. You know, and it keeps the data safe.
Sure.
And a lot of people don't go to that extreme, but I've also been down the road of losing data because of a fire, and also. You know, if I have to, I got my go bag. If I have to grab my go bag and run, and a tidal wave comes in and wipes me out.
It's important to remember that Windows Home Server is based on Windows Server technology.
Yeah.
It's a Windows Server platform underneath, and for the most advanced users, there will be a way to access the desktop of the server, even though it doesn't have a keyboard, mouse, and monitor. If you use some of those more advanced applications that. Regular users may not, feel comfortable using.
It's very cool.
Good.
Thanks so much.
Good. Sure thing.
Thank you, CD.
Absolutely.
All right, folks, I think you can agree that they've got some pretty cool stuff cooking with this Microsoft Home Server. I'm pretty excited about it myself. And, you know, it takes, recently Microsoft, the Vista's taken a long time, so it's been kind of... Okay, it's here. All right. What next? But I'm actually looking forward, as I indicated during the, him reviewing the product, this is going to be a pretty major product rollout. And I don't know what the price on this thing is going to be, but the simple fact that you can rebuild a PC, you blow a drive on a PC. And you replace the drive and you run the restore disk and it rebuilds your computer from scratch with all your applications and everything, the images from your hard drive, that's significant. And I know many of you have ran into, issues where you couldn't find a serial number or, the issues are endless when you have a hard drive crash, and like we did, we lost some pictures earlier in the year. It's amazing. It really, really, really is. And And I think Microsoft is going to have a winner on its hands with this. And not to say that the device looks pretty cool, too. So I guess we'll see what happens with this, folks. But I think that's something to whet your appetite, based upon everything that's going on with new product development and so forth. Now, Macworld's going on. I haven't heard anything since I haven't had time to read the blogs at all today. So I don't know what happened at Macworld today. Maybe you guys can give me a rundown. It's late here. Maybe you guys can give me a rundown of what happened at Macworld. I'd love to hear what the new product announcements from Apple have been. But I've got a stack of audio interviews here. I'm going to wrap it up here at this point tonight, just because I've got to get over and get a bunch of stuff pushed online. And this is going to be an ongoing battle all week. It's what do? Do I sleep for 2 hours or do I continue to push video up? I would rather sleep for 4 hours if I can, versus then going through and doing all this extra audio editing. But send your comments, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. Call the voicemail hotline, 619-342-7365. Thanks for everyone that's sending in their comments. I do appreciate it. Really, I really do, because I've gotten some great feedback already via email. Had about 250 emails in my inbox just being gone from the room for 10 hours. So you can see the battle I'm up against here in just a matter of time and enough people. If you're in Vegas, you can use your help. Come on down, and we'll put you to work for sure. I've got lots of video that needs to be edited, and if you want to come help, we're looking forward for some help over the next couple days. But until next time, we'll bring you into the show tomorrow night, and enjoy, and I'd love to hear your feedback on what you think on this Microsoft Home Server. All right, folks, take care, and we'll see you tomorrow. Aloha.